We're in chapter 3 of Ephesians, and again, we're all just studying together, so y'all see something and the Lord shows you something, then share it with us. But in Ephesians chapter 3, for this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. So just that prisoner of Jesus Christ, you're thinking prisoner for the cause of Jesus Christ. Yes, he was a prisoner, I think, there in Rome, possibly when this was written, and I believe that he was in prison on the cause of him teaching and preaching Jesus Christ. But he says, for you Gentiles, because that's what Paul's job was. He was to be the apostle to the Gentiles, wasn't he? If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward. So that dispensation, let's say that's of the dealing of God to his creations there, the distribution, if you'll look at it that way, of him dealing out this grace of God, which is given me to you ward. And how that, in the third, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words. And Paul has talked a lot in this book about the mystery, and maybe we'll get down to that here in just a bit. I think he makes it pretty plain here in just a little bit. But this, he said there that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. Spending time with God, and I really believe he will reveal things unto you in spirit and truth. If we worship him in that way, if we understand this book has been left for us for a purpose, and I believe when Paul got saved, I believe he went and spent some time with the Lord, just him. For quite a while. You know, it jumps from verse to verse pretty quick, but I believe he spent quite a bit of time with the Lord. And then came back, and then the Lord started revealing unto him what he had already known from his youth up, being taught as a Jew, being of the Jews, being a very well-educated Jewish. And then the Lord starts revealing unto him, just starts peeling the layers back to show him, hey, Paul, remember why you were being taught this? Remember? And it, you know, for him, it had to be just a huge revelation. Just to see that I see where tradition got in the way. I see all these things that we were doing, and it was right, but we started doing it out of tradition more so than serving the Lord, and we end up leaving the Lord out of it. So I think that's what he means in that revelation. I know in my life, from the time you get saved, you look back and you say, and the Lord starts showing you things, and he starts piecing it together, and he starts showing you, like Brother Jeff has talked about so many times, of where he was standing at when he met Sister Sheila. You know, all of that was planned by the Lord. All of that was there, but the Lord starts revealing it unto you, and he starts showing you, see these things that I put in your life, see these things that you went this way and it worked out, and other times you went this way and you took a harder road for me to steer you back where I wanted you. But he seems to show us these things. He reveals that unto us. Anybody got any thoughts on any of that?
I'm thankful, Brother Barron, when you get off on that road, wrong way, he brings you back.
Amen.
I'm not thankful that I did, but I'm so thankful. She'll never know how much that letter meant to me.
Yeah.
And that's what it took. And I shouldn't have had to been there to got that letter. But I'm thankful he brings you back.
Well, look at it this way. You were still in a submissive state. So many of us still kick against those pricks, as Paul put it, and just keep fighting against it and unwilling to turn back to what you know to be right. And the Lord shows us that too. Anything else?
I don't know what to be, but I'll can't keep from thinking when Paul went and was baptized there at Damascus, as we would say, that was where his membership was.
Man.
And then if you go over in the Galatians, where it talked about after he got baptized, he referred not to the apostles.
Amen.
But like you said, he spent time with the Lord. Said he went to Arabia.
Yeah.
And then he returned back to Damascus, back to his home church, and began and was preaching. And it talks about a 3-year span. I don't know for sure that he was in Arabia for 3 years, but I do know at the minimum he was baptized at Damascus, and after 3 years he went to Jerusalem. So there was a time period that he spent nothing but with the Lord instead of going to the apostles to learn. And there's nothing wrong with learning from one another.
That's what
we're doing right now. But when he went, said he went to Arabia.
Yeah.
And I don't know what to be, but I always believe that he probably went to Mount Sinai.
Mm.
And I don't know that to be. But Mount Sinai is in Arabia. That's where it's located. And I know God, he sat at the feet of Gamaliel,
mm-hmm.
Paul did, and learned the law. And then, in a sense of speaking, Jesus taught him grace. And I've often just wondered, did God actually take him to Mount Sinai and teach him grace? But all we know for sure is he went to Arabia.
Amen.
And spent time with the Lord.
Amen.
And I just wonder if it may have been on Mount Sinai.
Let's read that. Galatians 1:17.
Yep.
1. It says, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with them. Yep. I've always heard him say that he spent 3 years in Arabia. I don't know if he spent 3 years in Arabia or 3 years in Damascus.
Hmm.
Yeah,
if you read it, I'm not sure which one. He said, I went into Arabia and then returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went to Jerusalem.
Amen.
So we know it was 3 years or, you know, somewhere around about. But he spent time with the Lord.
Yeah.
And it said he didn't go unto the apostles.
Amen.
He went and spent time in meditation. And I'm like, just like you. All the things that he studied and read, the Lord started bringing his remembrance. You know, he was studying the law and all those pictures of Christ over and over and over. There they was. And he was just like, why didn't I see that?
Yep.
Why was I kicking against the priest?
Yes.
But just about all of us do. We, and when we all look back on it, we just think, why?
Yeah.
Why? But we all just see about it.
Yep.
Just about kicking against the
city. Amen.
But anyway.
Amen.
And
appreciate that.
I don't know whether he was at Arabia or Damascus for 3 years, I know he spent time with the Lord. That's what we do know.
Well, I guess that's the reason why I'm convinced that he was a member there at Damascus for some time. And then I believe he went down after that to Jerusalem, and it said that he essayed to join with them.
Yeah.
And then after that, he departed and went back to, where was it? Tarsus, where he was from. And then as Barnabas was released from Jerusalem to go to Antioch, as soon as he got there, he went for Paul, didn't he? And then it said that they spent time there together in Antioch. So I'm convinced personally that he was a member, spent time there with the church in Damascus, went to Jerusalem, Barnabas spoke for him, and then he went up to Antioch from there and he became a member there. That's I'm convinced of that.
He was at Damascus as a member, as we would call it, for a minimum of 3 years.
Yeah.
Yep.
In that time frame, he went to Arabia, or went down to Arabia, and was with the Lord. But as what we think of as under the authority of or whatever, he was a member of Damascus for a minimum of 3 years.
Amen.
And it, you know, like we said, you know, it's just hard to discern that. Was he? Did he go to Arabia and spend 3 months with the Lord, and then come back and tarry at Damascus for another 3 years? That's just unknown. The way I can see it, but a minimum, he was at Damascus for 3 years.
Amen.
I guess the point that with what you're making is he spent time with the Lord.
Yep.
And I love it. I do, when Jeff preaches on something that I've never seen, and I can learn that way, or when you're teaching, or when somebody testifies or something, and I think, man, I've never seen that, and then I go home.
Yeah.
But they just something special about when you're off in your little sanctuary, you're in your closet. They just something special when straight from heaven.
Yep.
He shows it to you.
Yeah.
And then you sit there just goosebumps all over, and then you start in your mind thinking, man, that fits the entire Bible.
Yeah.
Amen.
You know. Yeah. It's like God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you want to go tell people about it, and then you never can tell it like he showed you.
You cannot get it out when you sing it.
And that just, and you just think, and in the same way with you, and that little Brittany back there, I mean, she studies the Word.
Amen.
And all of that, and she's always bringing out something that I've never thought of before, and I'm just like, and you know, and I
Amen. Think,
no wonder Heath was such a good preacher. He was learning from his wife at home all the time. But, no, seriously, I mean, we learn from one another.
Amen.
You know, God shows you stuff.
Yeah, amen.
He showed Mark. He showed you that last time.
Yeah.
He showed you that.
He did. On my own, I wanted to get on there when everybody was commenting, and I wanted to say something. And the first thing I thought of is what you're always saying, I don't want to be a jerk.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't put that on there, but. I told the Lord I wouldn't say anything this morning unless he knocked on my heart, because I didn't do anything on my own, but he did. I'm glad he did. I'm glad he repeated.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Well, and you brought it out humbly, and you weren't a jerk about it, and we can learn from
that. If I'd done that last night, I would have been a jerk.
Well, don't be a jerk, Mark. Some of us like tennis.
Some of us was jumping around out there in the gravel as I was unloading the truck.
Listening.
That's right. Acting like a 12-year-old kid. That's right. I couldn't get it on the TVs. I was unloading the truck real slow until there's a commercial, and then I was getting with it.
Well, we all get excited about it. But I get excited about the Lord, too.
Amen.
And I think a lot of people do. But I just love how he brings stuff to us.
Amen.
And shows us stuff. And all that time, Paul, I believe he spent time studying. I believe he spent time repenting. I heard a lot of things going on in that 3 years.
Yep, I believe there's it.
And all those things going through his head that he'd learned.
Mm.
All those pictures and types, and he was thinking, yeah.
Yep.
And that's just the same way it is with us.
Man.
When he reveals something to us, when we're looking in the old book, and there he is, you know. There he is again, you know.
Amen.
It's just pretty awesome.
Yeah, and I think he learned a lot there from those at Damascus. If that 3 years wasn't all in Arabia, if some of that was back in Damascus, I think he was watching that. I think he was watching that church there in movement. I think he was watching Ananias baptizing more and that church growing and him understanding all of that.
You're talking about alone, you know, John the Baptist, you know, he was in the wilderness, there he was, you know. He wasn't out for the pats on the back.
That's right. God bless.
You can figure out pretty quick. We all need some encouragement, like you said, every one of us. When somebody says they don't ever need no encouragement, they're lying. I don't care who they are.
Yep.
Everybody needs a little encouragement. Mm-hmm. But truly, her encouragement comes from the Lord.
Amen.
I mean, if you're in for it for the pats on the back, you're not going to last very long. But her help comes from the Lord. He'll let you know where you're at, you need to be. And when you failed, I mean, unfortunately, we get to find out about that too. So, and we always feel like we fail.
Over there.
Like we say, well, go, you'll never be able to bring it out like he showed you.
Amen. Yeah, because it's meant for you, ain't it?
Yeah, it's personal.
Yeah, it is. Amen. God bless. I think Brother Marty mentioned that encouragement. He was talking about David being encouraged by the Lord when his own people turned against him. They turned against him there after the capture of Ziklag, I believe it was, and And he done a great job with that, but brought out the fact that David was encouraged by the Lord after that and kept on going, even when some of his own was against him. So yeah, when we get encouraged by the Lord by being shown some of this or something, that a layer being peeled back. And I think that's what Paul's meaning by these mysteries that he was talking about. It ain't that it's unsolvable. It's that there's a certain time that God wanted this church to be made together with Jewish and Gentiles. That's what's going on here. This mystery was to be revealed at a certain time. And it had to be after the Lord had came. It had to be after his resurrection. It had to be after John the Baptist had already baptized and made the materials. It all had to be done in order. And you get shown these things and you get taught these things and it don't mean much until the Lord just puts his stamp on it. He gives that to you.
Amen.
And then hopefully you can study it enough that you can pass it on and it makes sense to somebody else. Then they can study it out. As y'all know, we took off last Sunday and we did our, we were doing a little devotional thing there with just me and Heather and the kids. But it started, I mean, it ain't just because, even with your family, you're trying to find a place to sit down and do it. You know, you're trying to squeeze it in or you don't feel like you're forcing it on your kids or whatever. But Weston had asked about one of his buddies. He said, hey, do they believe like what we do? I said, well, pretty close, you know. They believe in experimental knowledge, salvation, and that stuff. And I said, but now some of the other stuff, they don't, the way that they, you know, their churches go, the way that they take members, whatever else, but it was just an innocent question. And he said, well, I said, we don't believe you just go out and start up a church on your own. And well, why is that? Well, now what are you going to do? Why is that? Harder question, you think. So we take our biblical examples. We go to the book of Acts. And we show what Paul was doing and how that he went from being a Jew, that meant nothing until the Lord had brought him down, saved his soul, called him to preach on the road to Damascus, then being baptized, and the Holy Ghost being gave to him at that point after being a member of the church. And upon that authority, like what we said, he went from there, went down to Jerusalem, went from Jerusalem up to Antioch. And then from there, what was he doing? He was going out and setting up churches under an extended arm of Antioch. That's how it's done. So that's our example. So when somebody says, why can't you just go out and start up a church? Because like what Brother Jeff has taught and preached so many times, you will leave out the Holy Ghost. The power was given to the church. That church is handed down from generation to the next as an extended arm. And that's how that power of the Holy Ghost is passed on through the authority of the church. You can't just go out and just start up something without having the proper materials, can you? So that's how and why we do what we do. And then we find biblical examples to back that up. And then we look back through our history and we find certain traditions that we wouldn't throw away. But you got to recognize some of it is just traditions. And that's what the Jews got so tied up in was their traditions in so many places. And they totally missed the mark when the Messiah was standing there right in front of them. They wouldn't give him the credit that he deserved.
That goes back to just like in our own history where there's a few that give Roger Williams the credit for setting up the first church in America in like 1638. But he himself found out that his baptism went back through a Protestant church, which means it went back through the Church of England, back through the Catholic. So they realized that was not set up a church, even though Roger Williams done as much or more for America as just about anybody and church liberty and all that. But never, no matter how great he was in so many areas, and no matter how much good he done, it could not be recognized that church, I think the name of it was Providence, It could not be recognized as a church because it did not have handed down authority. And of course, John Clark, just right after that, established the first church in Rhode Island, and his authority was handed down. So that's why people today cannot look back and recognize the church that Roger Williams started, because it did not have the lineage. It did not have the authority. You know, no matter if he is teaching the very same thing, it did not have the authority and the basis to be a church, you know.
Man.
And that's hard for a lot of people to understand.
Yeah. Amen. God bless. Appreciate this. And that's that history. I wish maybe one of these days the Lord allows to study that out, but I'm glad you know it, and I'm glad that he gave you the time and opportunity to study that out so that some of us can learn from those things. Anyone else? Well, let's go to the fourth verse. I think that's where we made it. Whereby, when ye read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. So he's telling us, hey, be reading these letters that he wrote and that he sent to the Ephesians, the church there at Ephesus, and that it may have even gone out to other churches, but he's letting them know, hey, when you read, and you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. And that mystery, let's refer to it as a truth that was previously hidden from common knowledge. It wasn't, like what we said earlier, it wasn't something that was meant to be hid that no one would ever know, but it was like a time capsule that was going to be released right when the Lord wants it to be revealed. So now revealed by the aid of the Holy Spirit. And we can read about that in Romans 16, 25 and 27, but also in 1 Corinthians 2, 7 through 10. So this ain't the only place that Paul wrote about that mystery. He wrote about it to the Romans and the Corinthians. In the fifth, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. So the Spirit of the Lord came not only to Paul, but came to Peter as well, didn't it? And let Peter know that this has now been opened up. This has been given to the Gentiles. Peter talked about it. So that's why apostles are plural. We know that Paul preached about it. We know that Peter preached about it. So that's the two I'm aware of, and maybe more than that. But so there were multiple apostles that was teaching and preaching on this very thing, that this would be. And here in the sixth.
I have a question.
Yes.
When it talks about the mystery, what all does that entail? Like the mystery, I know, is that the gospel is going to the Gentiles, you know, the Jews and Gentiles, and then the setting up of the church. But is that pretty much what the mystery was?
Right here in the sixth, I think this is going to describe it very well. No, you're good. I kept going over the same thing because it's mentioned multiple times here, going back through, let's say, where else was it? He'd mentioned it, and I jotted that down somewhere, but he's mentioned it three or four times just in this book, but here in 3 and 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel.
Amen.
So they're an heir. They could be saved. Make no mistake, there was Gentiles saved back in the Old Testament.
Right.
And that's honestly, I don't know that. I'm glad I understand it well enough that maybe I can explain it just a little bit. But I don't know that everybody believes that. And I'm not saying our church, I'm saying throughout. I believe there's people outside there that will tell you that Gentiles couldn't be saved in the Old Testament. And I'm saying that's wrong. What had happened here was this mystery is exactly what Paul said here, that the Gentiles would be fellow heirs in the same body. Jews and Gentiles pulled together as a church.
Amen.
The church had been established.
Amen.
By Jesus.
Amen.
We know that. After it was established, then it started growing. And then they were told to take it from the Jews, to take it, the Great Commission, to go out into all the world. Well, he wasn't saying just for them to be saved, but this allows them to be fellow heirs.
Amen.
What God, what Jesus has allowed us to be able to have an opportunity to go not only into heaven, but as a unified church. We're all together up there. We're all together. If we've been saved, then we are a fellow heir, an opportunity of being in the bride of Christ. And if nothing else, we'll be part of their, part of them there that may witness it.
Amen.
But that's the mystery. It's that that was hidden for so long, that was just kept aside for so long until its perfect timing, and that Lord allowed that time capsule there to be opened up and said, this is now what Paul is writing to all the world. He's sending this to everybody. And that's his job. And he'll say that here in a minute. In the ninth, he'll say, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery.
Amen.
His job, and that was the reason why the Lord gave him this job to do as an apostle to the Gentiles, was to communicate this to everyone. Going out into that Macedonian call, writing these letters back to whether it be the church of Rome, the church there at Corinth, and this mystery there that's being explained in Ephesus. But all of that then would go westward. And as it went westward, just like what Brother Barry was saying, where all did it go from Macedonia? It went into Europe. And went in from Europe, it came over into America.
Amen.
And that's why we are able to read this, and we should be acknowledging the fact that this is a blessing. We get the opportunity to be a fellow heir in the church, and being able to be a part of those, that fellow heir, that taking all of those things that the Lord's going to leave us or give us when we get up there.
What I love about the second chapter so much, we always stop around the 8th and 9th verse.
Amen.
And if you're going to read the rest of that chapter,
amen,
that's rich stuff.
Amen. And yes, it is.
And then he keeps going with it here in the third, yeah, and explaining what he was talking about in the second.
Amen. Yeah, I'm with you. That second was tough getting through, and then you finally like, well, Paul, what's your point? Get to it. And we finally get to see what his point there was. But anything to add to that?
I often wondered, and I don't know what to be, but over in Isaiah where it talks about the time would come, and I know like Jehovah's Witness, you know, believe that heaven's going to be right here on earth in the sense of speaking different than we do. But they talk about how that the wolf will lay with a cow. Mm-hmm. And I really wonder, is that prophecy concerning the clean and the unclean, mm-hmm, coming together? The Gentiles was referred to as the unclean. The household of Cornelius was the first, yep, Gentiles to be baptized into, right, the church. Did that not maybe fulfill the clean and the unclean coming together?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know that debate, but it'd be worthy of studying out more sometime.
Amen.
You know?
Amen.
Amen. Good point. Yeah, because...
Well, wasn't there already, like, Gentiles mixed in to that lineage anyways? I mean, you had, like, Rahab and the wall of Jericho.
Yep.
And then you have Ruth.
I believe wholeheartedly they were to be saved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were saved. But now we're talking about being partakers of the church, because the church was just now established, or just a few years there prior. But, yeah, that's the part I'm getting out of all of this. Now, make no mistake, and that's what he's saying there in the sixth, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. That fellow heirs, if they're saved. Right? So, yeah, we know that they have to be saved, but now that fellow heirs is not just, hey, now you have an opportunity to be saved. That's not what they're saying, and I believe that's where some people outside of this church and other churches would believe that, yeah, it's not until this time that Gentiles are able to be saved. That's not true. They were saved beforehand, I believe.
It was always saved, but it wasn't there for them like... It was like the gospel being in New York and us being here. You know, there could always be a Jonah come and preach,
yeah,
the gospel and you be saved.
Amen.
But it, once Jesus come and set up his church, then it was gave It didn't matter if Jew or a Gentile, it was set up for everybody. And that's so they was always saved. But it wasn't always plentiful for everybody.
Amen.
And it wasn't.
Amen.
That's the reason Jonah was so upset. He didn't want to go to Nineveh.
Yeah.
Why did he not want to go to Nineveh? Somebody explain that.
Gentiles.
Because he was a Gentile. What had he been taught?
They were unclean and
they were bad.
Yep.
Period. They weren't supposed to marry him. They weren't supposed to do nothing with him. And that's what the man had been taught.
Amen.
He was a man of God. And so you have to take it for that. You can just say it all you want to, but it's that way. And that's the reason he was that way. But God was showing him.
Amen.
You know, you need to preach to them. So it was with Peter when he said, I've not ever touched nothing unclean. He wasn't talking about the animals. He was talking about them Gentiles. And he said, not so, Lord.
Amen.
And he said, what I've cleaned, don't you call common or unclean. And I believe Cornelius was done clean myself.
Yep.
And he went to his household. He preached the gospel there. And then his household got saved. And then they was all baptized in the Lord's church.
Amen.
And that's what he's really talking about here, what Paul's talking about. And coming together as one. The wall had been torn down.
That's right.
And the Lord set up his church, and we could all be partakers of it.
Amen. And,
anyway, you may not see it that way, but we've got to be able to see it that way. Jonah's our fine example.
Amen.
He'd been taught that way.
That's right.
That's the reason he didn't want to go.
And just like what you pointed out, there's evidence of those already being saved. And in a whole city there, I mean, kings and all, right?
Yeah,
covered herself in ash and sackcloth. And
even the animals, they made them fast. I mean,
like when the Jew, would call the Gentiles unclean and not have anything to do with them, I mean, their own history tells them, the lineage of Jesus Christ had Gentiles in it.
Oh, yeah.
I guess that's why, why did they have such a problem?
And they could be, the way I understood it, after so many generations, then they believed that impurities were gone, like after the 10th generation. And they say if you study that out, that it's beyond 10 generations, and that's what made it all right. That's what I've read.
The Samaritans was hated so much because they was
half-breeds.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the reason the Samaritans were so happy.
Amen.
Because they was half Jew and half Gentile.
Yeah.
And so,
that came out of the 10 tribes, right, that were
done away with.
And
I mean.
Amen.
It's to do with the church. They was always saved.
Amen.
But it just wasn't.
But the ministry is
We need to understand how blessed we are, how God the gospel is plentiful here. And it cannot be.
Even the covenant with Abraham concerning the circumcision, all the Jews, males, was to be circumcised as a token. But if you read it closely, it says even the strangers that came in, their servants and things that got saved, they too were to be circumcised.
Yep.
And there's What a lot of people have trouble with is drawing the line between the redeemed and the extended church. We're all heirs to God, but he said we're joint heirs with Christ if so be we suffer with him. That's what this is talking about, I think, being fellow servants together, whatever, it's talking about the ability to come into the church.
Amen.
For the redeemed Gentiles to have the ability to come into the church.
Amen.
Because they was never granted that.
That's
the first church was set up as Jews. The first church was all Jews.
Yep.
Yeah.
But now that he's opened the church kingdom up to the redeemed Jew and Gentile, that they can be partakers with the church.
Amen.
But there's always been thousands and thousands saved in the Old Testament. Thousands.
We was drafted in. And the Gentiles.
Amen.
This is a tough. It's really not that tough, but it is because Gentiles are all witnesses.
Yeah.
All.
And I'm with y'all. The way I see this mystery is the Jew and the Gentile church. That's how I'm looking at it. Because it said the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. So now, being fellow heirs, both there together, being an heir of Christ, Gentiles and Jews, and being put together in the church. And we may be at a good place there to stop today, but appreciate all the input. This is good. This is good. If nothing else, we'll just consider self-dismissed this morning.